the lack of a huge number of participants and the lack of maybe diversity among them, it's difficult to justify giving the results of these efforts real weight. The consensus seems to be that we need to emphasize outreach more. In order to engage these communities, you know, it's not just Field of Dreams, sort of, if you build it and put it up there, they will come. You need to really focus on outreach from the start.
Patrice, one of the other aspects that seems like a real lesson learned is, in the end, if this is really going to become part of the government culture, this has to help feds do their jobs better.
Exactly. It has to become part of and a means to advance the agency's mission. And I think a lot of them have not seen in the past that openness was part of their mission or that it could help them advance their mission. So that's been part of the change that's taking place. But I think for individual employees in agencies government-wide, I think that that is a change that has yet to happen. And it's going to take leadership, and it's going to take a change in the reward incentive structure to ensure government officials, civil servants, that providing information is okay. And, you know, they're not going to get punished for making something open.
Part of the idea here was that the default switch, essentially, is that information is available. Information is open unless we can justify, unless there's a reason for it not to be.
Right.
Has that kind of transition taken place?
No, not across the board. I think certainly agencies have made a lot of data available, but I think one of the big frustrations that this administration has had is they have not been able to turn the Freedom of Information Act processing around. And I think there and in terms of FOIA litigation, much, much slower process, because there you're dealing with the information that really tells you what the government is doing or what it has done and how policies were set. And that's the stuff that it's harder for the agencies to let go of and put up proactively and make available. So the default switch is maybe halfway moved from secret to open, but I think a lot of people in the agencies think of the information they have as the agency's information, and the administration wants to have them at least start thinking that it's the government's information and then move them to it's the public's information. But it's a slow process.
We're talking to Patrice McDermott, director of OpenTheGovernment.org, and David Stern, who's director of online engagement at America Speaks. David, one of the things that I always say to folks is you can talk about all this stuff all you want. It really is embracing this concept that all of us are smarter than each of us individually, and that, yes, we may have always believed that information is power, and so I keep it close to myself. The real power of information comes when it is shared, and that's really what this is seeking to get at.
As part of that, what we need to do is to promote this idea of a two-way conversation between government and citizens, where information is flowing both ways, and where the public can have a genuine impact on policy. Because, the public right now, I think, doesn't really feel through the existing efforts that they can really, shape the government decisions that impact their lives. You know, a lot of what we've seen so far has been, what you'd expect, dipping toes in the water with some relatively low-risk, low-profile experimentation. I think the American people have proven they can provide lots of valuable ideas that are worthy of serious consideration for incorporation into policy. What we'd like to see more of is places where feedback that's been contributed online has influenced policy in a really significant way. And I don't know if it's just that this isn't happening that much, or if they're just not publicizing the places where that's been the case. We need to have the sense that there's really a genuine conversation here, that people feel their voices matter, to build a feedback loop where those who participate see that the opinions that they offer have been incorporated into policy, they'd be more likely to participate again in the future.
Patrice, I got to tell you, one of my biggest frustrations with this is that a lot of it has been so broad, open to the broad citizen, and frankly, my sense is a lot of citizens, they don't want to be involved in the government, the meat-making at that level. The directive hasn't focused where I think you can get a lot of bang for the buck, and that's intra-agency.
I do know that a lot of the agencies and, departments and all have set up internal wikis and internal blogs that are very active. I know Department of Education, for instance, has one that's for suggestions and ideas internally
right.
that they've gotten a lot of response to, and I think NARA does, and I'm sure a lot
DHS
of other ones
has one
yeah,
that they've...
Yeah, so I think we just don't see them as much from the outside, and they also, OMB also has something called MAX,
right.
Which is for, you know, government people to communicate on. So I think there's probably more of that going on than we know about, and it may be more effective, but even there, I know when they were first, you know, working on the directive, individuals were really hesitant to participate on the sort of government-wide ones because they didn't feel they were authorized to do so, and it would be
yeah.
interpreted as speaking for their agencies. And so there's a lot of culture change inside government and, you know, internal to government and internal to the agencies that has to happen. To encourage government-wide response. Now, inside an agency, I think people feel somewhat more comfortable.
I guess,
it gets back to that reward incentive.
I guess one of my cases in point would be the green initiative, the sustainability plans. There's nothing secretive here. Why these things weren't just released agency by agency on a website, that's
yeah.
how you submit them to OMB, is post them on your website. You'd immediately know which agency takes this seriously and which is just mailing it in.
Yeah.
And then you could see how OMB changes those things over time. And get ideas from agencies sharing ideas with other agencies just seemed like a real missed opportunity
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And probably partly OMB's culture.
yeah, well, and that's part of the culture change. And my sense is part of this is if OMB doesn't take it seriously, then it's hard for other agencies to say, well, if they don't take it seriously and how they manage, why should I do it?
Well, there has to be more engagement, certainly from OMB, because they've not been... They issue the directive, but, and they're sort of there at the meetings at that this interagency working group has. Actually, they have had a representative recently. But yeah, there's not been as much engagement as some of us would like to see and as much change in their approach.
Mm. So difficult to talk about government-wide because there are pockets of real innovation going on,
right.
and then there's pockets where people just mailing it in. We all know that. Let me ask you just to give one or two pieces of advice to folks out there who, in many ways, are really struggling with this. David, is there something that agencies should do?
Outreach is really important. That needs to be a fundamental part of the process. I think the lack of resources has been a challenge. I'm not sure if there's much they can do about that. Having top policymakers be engaged in these engagement processes, be participating a little bit here and there in forums, be responding to the most popular ideas and most, you know, common suggestions that are emerging, that makes this feel like a real conversation. Publicizing what when they are successful in doing that, that will encourage people to participate more in the future. And the way one person, I think it was Mark Tripeau at Microsoft, mm-hmm. said it recently, we'll know this is real when the lobbyists and the advocacy groups start diverting a big chunk of their attention to mobilizing groups of people around online input channels
yeah.
as a fundamental part of the way that they work, as part of the way that they do business.
Yeah.
And that's not happening yet. So, you know, I look forward to that day.
Patrice?
The main piece of advice I would offer to agencies is let the public know what you're doing. The agencies have put up these plans, and for many of them, you know, they had to establish this / open page. For most of them, that's a stagnant page. The public doesn't know what they're doing to implement the plans. They don't know the good things that they're doing. A few agencies are really good at that, like NASA. But most of them, you know, you have no way of knowing. You have to go around, dig around on the site, and if you're lucky, you'll find something. So I think, you know, they need to reach out to their stakeholders. They need to reach out to their news stakeholders so that the, you know, the education department reaches out to Education Week and that sort of thing to start bringing them in and getting them to be part of this process, and to be the, you know, the, way that this word gets out. So again, that's a different, culture change that has to happen, but I think things are happening, but the public doesn't know. And the only way to move this, to keep this moving forward, is to really engage the public in the sorts of dialogues that David's talking about, but also in using the information
right.
and letting the government know where they're on the right track and where they are, you know, putting up stuff that they might think is useful, but the public doesn't think is useful.
And I'll add my 2 cents, and you get what you pay for. But start on areas that are safe, like a sustainability plan or something like that, mm-hmm. where you're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to. It's not the end of the world if it gets out. In fact, it probably should be out there anyway.
Right.
Start with those kinds of areas. And don't be afraid of embarrassment. My favorite phrase in the past year came from the Recovery Board, where they said, if you're easily embarrassed, don't do open government and transparency, because there's gonna be stuff that gets out there that you don't know, whether it be congressional
exactly.
districts or something like that.
Right.
Let me
but
just
I wouldn't say don't do it. I'd just say be prepared.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Absolutely. Let me ask you one quick question, and then I'll let you go. And my goodness, we're way over time. But I can't help asking about WikiLeaks and the impact that that has on open government and on transparency. I already hear a lot of people retrenching.
Yeah, it's really disturbing, and the retrenchment, and there's already, you know, drums beating on the Hill to create new laws to make disclosure, criminal. So I don't know exactly what the full fallout is going to be, but it is very disturbing, and the potential impact on news media and research groups, I think could be profound, and it's certainly something that organizations in my coalition are deeply concerned about and are watching very closely to see, you know, what transpires both from the administration and from Congress. But we're worried.